like sands through the hourglass. These are the bands of your life.
That's right, Jared. It's 8:55 here on The Ticket. It's time for Bands of Your Life, and it's brought to you by Globe Life Insurance. We'll get back into Mavericks and other NBA playoffs at 9:30, but we got to spend the next two segments with our very special guest and our co-host this week. Mm-hmm. It's Rich Phillips, who I know you like your music.
I do.
You like music that a lot of people around here might not like, so I'm very much looking forward to hearing what shaped your musical life.
Well, you'll be familiar with a lot of the bands, I think, on my list.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure I will. And
will Kat be familiar with all the bands?
Yes, every single one. That doesn't mean they're all necessarily metal bands.
Yeah.
True.
They have metal bands. Bands.
Not metal bats.
They have metal bands, too, which I realized before Rich started the segment.
All right, so Rich, now it's time to piss off everybody, because that's what people do here. The first two categories really ruffle a lot of feathers.
I love the first two.
It's a great way to start this segment. The first category is band you hate.
Well, and of course, you all immediately yesterday assumed, after the assault that Donovan did on me with Jackal, that would be my choice. But they're not important enough in the world to be hated.
Donovan, just driving to work.
More shots at Jack.
Having a nice morning. And then you send him over to the Rumble Strips.
Out of the hair band genre, there's no doubt I dislike this band more than any. It is Poison. Oh. This is the number one reason right here.
This song?
Yes. Do you know the name of it?
No, not yet. I'm sure I will.
John.
Oh, Unskinny Bop.
You cannot claim to be any form or type of a metal band and have a song with bop in the title.
Was this what y'all did your ice bucket challenge? Was this song?
No, that was, I think, a Van Halen song, but
this sounds awfully a lot like it.
This was very heyday MTV, mid to late 80s. I remember this video quite vividly.
And probably the reason that they're, as I list them as the band that I hate the most, is because of how much we were inundated with them. Because, like you said, Sean, they were MTV heavy.
So you don't like them because they achieved success?
No, their songs suck, too.
You didn't like Every Rose Has Its Thorn, Rich?
It's absolutely awful.
Okay, I actually like that song.
I do, too.
That's terrible.
And
don't
I like it even
that.
More because Kevin Scott, who used to work with us, used to perform that with the Time Wasters.
Really?
And it gave me a whole new level of appreciation.
Non-parody?
For it.
Just the real deal?
Yeah.
Yes, I forgot about that. That's right, he did that.
Genius.
You're kind of right. Unskinny Bop might be the weirdest named song I've ever heard, and I certainly have never listened to these lyrics closely.
It reminds me of Mbop.
What the hell is this about?
I guess it's a dance you do, the Unskinny Bop.
I do that every day.
Oh, no. Do they have one good song that you like? I mean, Look What the Cat Dragged In. Was that when they were good?
Well, they were never good.
Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah, see, that's so horrible. They have one or two songs that maybe I won't flip off the station within 2 seconds of it starting.
What about Something to Believe In?
What about I Want Action?
No.
Tonight!
That's awful.
But it's Satisfaction. All right. God, you're right. These guys are bad.
They're terrible. Well, also, one of my best friends in the world loves Poison, so.
You're taking a dig at him this morning.
Absolutely. He's punching his radio right now.
I'm looking at their picture when they were peak Bouffant. That has to be the biggest four-pack of hair.
They were
the
pretty
80s.
Hot, weren't they?
Yeah, was that CC DeVille in there?
Mm-hmm.
Good
Bobby Dahl.
God.
Man. Ricky Rocket.
Unskinny Bop, number 3 in 1990. That's its peak. Yet Every Rose Has Its Thorn was a number one song in 1988.
Oh, yeah.
And I Won't Forget You was 13 back in 1987. So this was prime MTV years.
Mm-hmm. They're still at it, too, aren't they?
Talk Dirty to Me. You don't like that, Rich?
No, I don't.
Come on.
It's a good riff.
See, and I already got a text from my buddy.
Really? He's like, right out the gates, huh?
He says, I'll give you Unskinny Bop. But come on, there's worse hair metal bands as a state.
I agree
with
that.
But I'm not pounded over the head by them. Ugh. Listen to how horrible this is.
What good return music this is. Bow! I want to talk to
you
sports now.
You know I never.
Yeah. Let's do one more KP segment.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's piss off more friends, Rich. Now, the band that you think is overrated.
So this one is going to be in the metal world for sure.
Huh.
Very controversial for me to say that this band is overrated. It is the band that's considered probably the forefathers of the thrash metal movement. But, man, Motorhead is overrated, dude.
Whoa. What's wrong with this?
That definitely sounds like Triple H singing.
I have listened to them for years and tried and I'll listen to them and I get it. The bands like Metallica and Megadeth and Testament and Anthrax, this is where their roots are. This is what they're coming from. But they're all so much better. Just never hit for me.
I don't know if I can name you another Motorhead song than this one.
I'm looking
killed
at.
Killed by Death.
You're killed by death.
I do like the title of that song, by the way.
Born to Raise Hell.
Yes.
Hellraiser. Overkill. They got a bit.
Yeah, they do. I like how, by the way, both that Microsoft Word, when you type in Motorhead, it autocorrects and puts the umlaut over the second O.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it is? The two little dots? Is
yeah,
that
sure.
Umlaut? I love how it does that.
Culturally relevant.
Oh, wait. Yes. So they actually do, Jer, sing Triple H's song, huh?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, I didn't know that. It just sounded familiar.
Oh, I thought you knew that.
No. Oh, hold on. No, this
here
man kicks
the
ass.
Yes.
What the hell are you talking about, Rich? Okay, and I always thought that was Triple H singing it.
No.
Okay. I'm kind of hyped right now.
This is better.
Did they make this just for his entrance? Or was this a song before?
No, I don't believe so. I believe this was specific.
Rock that, Jer.
Because he's the game.
Okay, I love this.
Lemmy, R.I.P., died in 2015.
Indeed.
Well, you're losing metal credibility this morning, Rich.
Oh, I know.
You better save this.
Very controversial for me to say that.
All right. Redeem yourself with the most underrated band of your lifetime.
All right. Well, it's a band that guaranteed none of you guys have ever heard of, but they're out of Austin. Been around for about 15, 20 years, I think, called The Sword. The Veil of Isis.
Ooh.
Seriously?
Love these guys, dude. They have such a great groove.
This is good, like, hockey pregame skate music.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I don't hate
this. This is fine. Texas band, too, so.
Yes, they have a great groove, great sound.
Uh-oh.
They could use a little better quality recording sometimes.
Sounds like Ozzy, kind of.
I've seen them once with the Catman.
Huh. No way.
At the Gas Monkey, and not that Gas Monkey Live place. It's the Bar and Grill.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, where they had, like, the patio stage out back.
Oh, yeah. It's an acoustic set.
I've seen Electric
wasn't.
Six on that tiny stage many times.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's really cool because there's probably 500, 600, 700 people there. Man, you are so close to that thing.
Did you guys mosh? Have you ever moshed together, you and Kat?
No, we're too old.
Would you?
No.
If he asked you too nicely?
Please get in the pit with me, Rich.
Rich,
we're
please come to the pit.
But The Sword, man, love these guys. Very underrated, very largely unknown. There's, I can't remember who it is, but a P1 turned me on to him about 12, 14 years ago when he heard I didn't know who they were, and he sent me a couple of their CDs.
When you saw them live, did they play Fire Lances of the Ancient Hyper Zephians?
Possibly.
Wow.
How is the band name The Sword available, too? Because that is kick-ass.
I know it is. You'd think somebody else would have had
it.
No. These guys from Austin.
Austin's Own, the S-word. All right, band you love, Rich. Band
I love. This was the easiest one for me to
here
answer
it is.
Right here. Who is it?
It's Queensryche.
No, it's not.
What?
No. No, this will be the greatness of the boys from England, Iron Maiden.
Oh.
Number one all-time for me. Still.
How many Iron Maiden t-shirts do you own?
I'd have to go through my box where I keep them, because I don't wear any of those old concert shirts.
You're not wearing those to job interviews?
Yeah. No, I'm not. Well, I'm not really going to job interviews.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
How many things in your house say Iron Maiden on them?
Not much of anything.
Come on. Even in boxes, everything.
Maybe a few things, but no, not that much. I'm not a big collector of things like that. But I've seen them. I think I've seen them more than any band.
How many times?
I mean, we're in double digits for sure.
Was Eddie there?
Every time. They can't have a show without Eddie.
Explain Eddie to me. Is it just a big doll? Not
a
doll.
Big creature.
But he's on stage?
So they'll, a lot of times they'll have one Eddie that's just like the torso and head that comes up from behind the drum kit. But then later in the show, he walks out on stage. And he's,
whoa.
You know, 12, 15 feet tall.
And it's a puppet? Or
no, it's like I think it's somebody on stilts probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have
They're
you ever
awesome.
Had dreams or nightmares about Eddie?
No. Maybe dreams, not nightmares.
I gotta say, man. My metal days are past me, but these Iron Maiden t-shirts are badass.
They're unbelievable. Their artwork is fabulous.
What song is this?
This is Hallowed Be Thy Name, my all-time favorite song.
This is your number one all-time favorite song.
Hands down.
At your funeral, we
Jer,
play this.
All Absolutely. The way up. Give it to him. Are you biting your bottom lip and bobbing your head right now?
Not biting my lip.
I am.
All right,
sing it, Rich.
Go.
I could not handle Bruce Dickinson lyrics. So put those to shame, that's awful.
All right, so band you hate, Poison, overrated band, Motorhead, the S-word, underrated out of Austin,
it's
The Sword.
Sword.
And band you love, Iron Maiden. Let's go ahead and pause there. When we come back on the other side, the band that made Rich Phillips fall in love with music.
What song is it?
I don't know that.
Oh, really? I do. It's Fire Lances of the Ancient Hyper Zephians.
Oh, okay. It's the one you named.
Yeah, it's my favorite one.
All right, awesome. Rich. So we left off with the band you can listen to over and over and over again.
Well, since I picked Iron Maiden as the band that I love, I can't pick them here, right?
Right. Right. That's
because they definitely fall into that category.
Like six categories for you.
But close behind them, just definitely all-around metal staple, the boys from Metallica.
Hell yeah.
This is when the mosh pit really gets going, Sloy.
Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Have you been in one? Have you been in one? A Metallica mosh pit?
Yes.
You lay anybody out?
Maybe.
Come on. Belly bonk?
Did I get laid out? Maybe.
I've been laid out in a mosh pit.
Isn't that all part of the fun?
Yeah, and it was really fun. Yeah, I went and saw Korn and White Zombie.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got dragged there when I was in the Air Force. I was not interested, but I'm like, dude, it sounds fun.
I saw that tour as well.
And then you just go in the mosh pit and fight.
Yeah.
I mean, not full fist to the face, but like forearms to the side of the head and stuff. And it's like, this is okay?
Yes.
And then this person's happy about this?
I was always the guy on the edge of the pit trying to protect the lady. Trying to be chivalrous.
I didn't have a lady. I was going for stitches. It was really fun.
When I saw these guys in 89 at Starplex, the mosh pits out in the lawn, there were at one time six of them going that all were mosh pits circling fires.
Really?
They took, everybody takes like their cups and other garbage and lights it on fire. And I mean, they finally got out there with like a fire hose or fire extinguisher or something and put a bunch of them out. And then we all start choking in the amphitheater portion because all that smoke and smell just comes underneath. And I mean, it was about to gag all of us in there. One of the greatest concerts I've ever attended.
What's the greatest Metallica song of all time, Rich?
Ooh. This one right here, Creeping Death.
This is up there.
Hell yeah.
Creeping Death.
I like one quite a bit.
Uh-oh. I bet that's frowned upon by Rich.
So, I've always found it... I actually, because they really break it down in the second half of that song.
Yeah.
And that was the song that made them hit, because that was the first song they did a video for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of late into the MTV age to finally put out your first video in the late 80s.
Yeah.
The thing that always amazed me about One was that it made it so big and it was so long.
It's like an 8-9 minute song, right?
And they never made a radio edit that took out all the metal breakdown in the second half. I was stunned that it made it that big in its full form.
I just went to an independent source and looked up top 20 greatest Metallica songs ranked. Number one, Creeping Death.
What up?
Ride the Lightning. Number two is Master of Puppets.
Right
one
there.
Is number three, For Whom the Bell Tolls, and Battery round out the top five.
Oh, awesome.
My metal days are behind me, but when Metallica's on the radio, roll the windows down, turn it up as loud as you can.
During the quarantine times, they've been doing Metallica Mondays.
Yes, on their
website. Every Monday night at 7 on the Facebook Live and on YouTube, they release another concert that they play in its entirety.
A few weeks ago, they did Dallas, right?
They did. It was in 2000 when James Hetfield had missed the original show
at Texas Stadium
because of a back injury, and they came back and did like two nights for free for everybody who had a ticket at Starplex, and yeah, it was one of those nights.
And that was his birthday too. They did some encores and they hit him with a cake, and that was a great night, man. What a great venue and good energy.
What genre of metal would this be considered?
Thrash.
Thrash.
Yes.
This is now classic metal, though,
right? I really like this stuff, and I'm not ever interested in metal, to be honest. I don't have anything I listen to on my own time, but whenever I hear Metallica, it's awesome.
Their guitarist, Kirk Hammett, is just...
He is
incredible.
Beast.
But it just sounds different than... I don't know if it's other thrash or speed or the yelling. I mean, this stuff is just good.
And honestly, I know that they got, quote, soft into the 90s when they were really successful with Load and Reload and, you know, the S&M.
Yeah.
Dude, I like all those albums.
So
I don't care if it's not like 80s thrash. Dude, they're great.
They have an album called Load.
Yeah.
Yeah, Load and Reload. And those two are not very good, in my opinion.
Oh, man. I mean, no. I think Saint Anger wasn't recorded well.
I have said forever that if they went back and reproduced the Saint Anger album, I think there's four or five good songs on there.
They just
all sound like crap because they let Bob Rock mess it up, their producer.
Do you guys like Enter Sandman, or is that too...
Nothing great.
Wrong with that.
Was that their most successful hit?
Probably, yeah, because it was on the album after Justice for All.
Kill 'Em All.
It was on the Black album, and it was a huge hit for them.
Another Black album.
All right, let's keep churning forward. What band made you fall in love with music, Rich?
All right, so this will be a little bit of a departure for you guys from what we've had. But not a metal guy whatsoever. But this is where I really began to realize there was this thing called rock that was cool. And it was in 1980 with the greatness of Billy Joel.
All right. Dude.
Roy is on board.
Oh, yeah, he was on my list.
So, you know, in the late 70s, as I'm starting to come to music consciousness, FM was still kind of this weird nebulous thing almost, especially like where I lived in Denver at the time. There weren't that many FM stations, and most of them were playing disco. And I was like, man, this sucks. And, you know, I mean, I listened to some of it because it's what was there. But boy, this album came out in early 1980, the Glass Houses album from Billy Joel, and I thought this was so cool, and I got so into Billy Joel, and still love him.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome in person, too, by the way.
Did you go to Globe Life? Or Globe?
I did not, no.
Park?
Yeah, Globe Life.
Now, I've only seen him once. It was a number of years ago. It was at Reunion Arena that I saw him.
Cash went and saw him. He's a huge Billy Joel fan. Saw him at MSG when he was doing one of his
85 nights he played there.
Yes, exactly. And say what you want about Piano Man. He just stops everything, and the entire crowd, MSG, scream sings most of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get goosebumps staring at and being a part of that, Cash showed me a video of it. It looked incredible. I mean, they did it at Globe Life, too. I think he does it everywhere. Everybody knows that song. But, man, it's really a cool thing to be a part of. And I think Scenes from an Italian Restaurant is on my top five list of greatest songs of all time.
Good stuff.
Love it.
Billy Joel.
How about that, Rich?
What a left turn.
I'm telling you, I mean, something had to steer me into the rock and roll world, and it was the great Billy Joel. I hear, though, have you ever seen that movie, Hired Gun?
No.
It's a movie, it's a documentary about session musicians.
Oh, wow.
And that's basically what he has largely because he's Billy Joel, so he just hires session guys. But he had this, Liberty DeVito was his drummer forever. Until one day, Liberty DeVito heard on the radio, hey, here's a song off Billy Joel's new album that comes out next week. And he didn't know anything about it.
Wow.
He just got fired without knowing it. And I hear he's terrible to work with.
So Billy Joel made you fall in love with music.
Yes.
The band that changed your life, Rich?
Probably, obvious maybe in the metal world, but it's got to be the greatness of Black Sabbath.
What song is this?
Black Sabbath.
Okay.
Is this the first metal band? Like straightforward?
Pretty much. Definitely the godfathers of it, yes. And this is when I realized from Billy Joel that there was something an awful lot heavier and more evil and cool. I mean, you guys were rocking this at 10, right?
Never.
I'm Metallica, yeah, but not this. I didn't discover Black Sabbath until my teen years when I realized that there was stuff that stretched back into the 60s and 70s on the metal
front. Even before I knew of Billy Joel, when I was in about 78 or 79, I remember our babysitter bringing over records one night, and she brought over a Black Sabbath album, but it was actually the first one without Ozzy. It was Ronnie James Dio.
Oh, the great, late great Ronnie James Dio.
Yes, on Heaven and Hell. And I thought that was awesome. And I still do think that's awesome.
And she played those records for you?
Yes.
And then what happened?
I went to bed, probably. I was like 8.
Okay.
Probably some Pink Floyd in there, too, by the way.
All right, Bandit surprised you, Rich.
Okay, well, I already referenced, actually, the show where this happened earlier. That 2000 Metallica show at Texas Stadium that James Hetfield missed. That was a summer tour they were doing. It was like 5 bands on the bill, and one of them was a band or a guy known as Kid Rock.
You laugh. He saved the show that night.
There is. Were you at that one?
I was.
It was unbelievable.
Because you had Power Man 5000, Korn,
System of a Down,
which was great. And then Kid Rock and then Metallica.
And so I didn't know much about Kid Rock in 2000. You know, I knew this, you know, Bull God, Cowboy, Bow da da bow da bow da bow, Diggy Digga, whatever that is. That's about all I knew. And when he came out to do his set, I was really, really impressed. He sounds great live. He has one song where he plays every instrument on stage, and he's pretty good on all of them.
That's the thing that stood out to me is he played multiple instruments. I thought he was just a lead singer, rock, rap, front man. I didn't have much regard for him until I saw that.
He's not half-assing it on the drums either. He can play. But then Metallica comes out with no lead singer, and Jason Newsted, the bassist, sings like the first 4 songs.
And then underwhelmed big time.
And then they start bringing out guys from other bands to sing on the bill to sing. And Serge Tankian, is that his name, from System of a Down.
He did Sanitarium, which was pretty cool.
Except he had a piece of paper in his hand because he didn't know the words.
Yeah.
And then Korn comes out, and Jonathan Davis does a song, and I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't very good.
Not great.
The whole band for Korn comes out, and they play with Lars Ulrich from Metallica on drums, and they're going to do a Korn song. And Lars admits he messed up. He played through a stop in the song, and the whole band quit playing. And they started a song over.
Yeah, they suck.
Train wreck.
They suck live.
For some reason, Texas Stadium had put these seat cushions in that year that were, like, zip-tied onto the seats. And, man, they were just getting pelted everywhere in that stadium. They were just flying all over the place. And me and my buddies were actually planning our exit at this point of the show because we thought it was about to get ugly.
We also had the stripper up in the luxury box, too, that was giving a show
a
show between sets.
So after the corn disaster, Kid Rock comes out. And it's the second half of the show, basically. And he sings the rest of the night. He knows every word to every song. He sounds great.
Yeah.
When they go to an instrumental section, he walks off stage because he's not Metallica, and he lets them be themselves. And, man, you said it, Sean, he saved the night.
Yep.
I was so –
kudos to him.
I had zero expectations of him when I got there that night, and I've gone and seen him two, three, four times since then because of that night.
All right, we got to hustle here. Guilty pleasure,
okay.
Rich.
Yeah, I will never expect this one. Jared, just go ahead and roll it.
Wow. Okay. Dave Lane's happy.
I'm sure he is.
This is a product of your environment as a youngster, right?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, this is high school going to college.
Yeah, this was heavy in the radio side.
But there were a lot of other bands along this front that I couldn't stand.
Did you have a bit of a goth phase, Rich, when you had some eyeliner on? And
not at all.
Come on.
Boy, I like me some Depeche Mode. Still like listening to it, too, by the way.
You like The Cure at all?
Hate them.
Really?
they maybe should have been over Poison on the band I hate.
Wow.
I just don't know enough of their songs. I just like them so much.
Who would have thought? All right, band you should have seen by now.
Don't know how this got by me because they were so massive my whole high school era, but I have never seen Bon Jovi.
God.
What? This is old Bon Jovi here.
Oh.
This was nearly my band I thought was overrated.
Oh,
I didn't pick
him.
The only time I've seen Bon Jovi is when he came out with Bruce Springsteen and did Glory Days at Reunion Arena, or the AEC back in, I think, 08 or 09. That's the only, and I don't know. He's just so corny, dude.
I mean, that's not one of my all-time favorite bands, but I just don't know how I didn't see him, because, like, the Slippery When Wet album
came
out my sophomore year of high school. And
loved
God,
it.
Those things were huge. That thing was massive. And I don't know how I never saw them in concert.
I was 10 years old when Slippery When Wet came out. I was like, oh, awesome. What were you, like,
I was like
seven?
Eight or nine. Seven or eight.
And you thought it was crappy then? No, you loved it.
I don't know.
Wanted Dead or Alive? That's a jam.
Yeah. I don't know. Never did it for me.
Rich, you want to go see Bon Jovi together?
Sure, let's do it.
I'll go with you.
All right.
Use your connections.
Lots of moms in the crowd.
I haven't got none.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the mom quotient?
Oh, God.
Dude, we will slay, Rich. We're morning show hosts.
Drunk night out mom.
Dude.
Hopefully we'll get to go to a concert again someday.
Nuts.
All right, and finally, Great Live.
Great Live. This will get back into the true metal end here. Dude, Slipknot is one of the greatest concerts I have ever seen.
They scared me when I saw them, Rich.
They still scare me. They have to have bits. Explain
so
their
it's,
bits.
It's nine guys.
Okay.
Because, you know, they've got your usual five, and then they got a couple of percussion players, and got a guy who's a DJ mixing in the back. They all have masks on, and their masks change from album to album, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, they're just – the first time I saw them was actually in the parking lot at Starplex because they played on the second stage at Ozfest one year.
Yes, I was there with you.
And I know, and it was boiling hot. The sun's beating down on the stage, and they're all up there in their black costumes and masks. And I was like, man, these boys are serious about this, man, aren't they?
They had a skinned goat head that they were throwing around on a spike.
And so – I didn't know much about them at that point. And I was like, man, I got to find out about these guys. And then I have seen them multiple times since, mostly with Cat probably too. And they just, it is sensory overload at their concert because they got these two extra drummers come out on one song with like marching band snare drums on, they're playing. And then they've got these platforms up on each side and they go up and down while they're playing these floor toms, and one of them will be doing chin-ups off of the thing at some point during the show.
A lot, man.
The drummer, you know, Tommy Lee kind of did it back in the 80s before their drummer did it, where his drum kit spins around and tilts forward, but it's still pretty damn cool when he's doing it. Love Slipknot in person. Love them on the air at all.
So who are some of your honorable mentions that you left off the list? Because everybody has a handful of bands that didn't quite make it.
Definitely great in person is Pink Floyd. And there's so much, again, sensory overload that goes on with their show.
How did Queensryche not find a home
here?
Yeah,
I saw Queensryche with you, Rich.
You did?
Yeah, we saw them in Dream Theater, I think, one night together.
Oh, yeah. Another band on that made me fall in love with music I left off was Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing back with Billy Joel, where it was when I was first coming around to rock and roll music, and I was like, man, these guys are pretty damn cool. And a band that changed my life that I left off was AC/DC, because Back in Black is the first album I ever purchased with my own money.
Very good, Rich. That was good rockin', hard rockin' stuff, yeah. My friend.